From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Apologies on Capitol Hill today from the embattled head of the Internal Revenue Service.
As acting commissioner, I want to apologize on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service for the mistakes that we made and the poor service we provided.
Stephen Miller conceded to the House Ways and Means Committee that the IRS singled out conservative groups that sought tax-exempt status, but he denied that the agency's actions, however inappropriate, were politically motivated.
I do not believe that partisanship motivated the people who engaged in the practices described in the Treasury Inspector General's report. I've reviewed the Treasury Inspector General's report, and I believe its conclusions are consistent with that.
House Republicans appeared unconvinced and accused Miller of misleading the committee. The GOP leadership says in addition to firings, people should face jail time. Miller was forced to submit his resignation this week. He's being replaced by Danny Werfel. President Obama is trying to shift focus back to his second-term agenda. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports Obama traveled to Baltimore today to talk about economic growth and infrastructure.
President Obama has spent most of the week in reactive mode, dealing with three separate controversies about the IRS, the Justice Department, and Benghazi. Now he's trying to get back on offense with a speech on the economy. At a Baltimore company called Ellicott Dredges, he announced steps to speed up major infrastructure projects.
Today, I'm directing agencies across the government to do what it takes to cut timelines for breaking ground on major infrastructure projects in half.
The company president testified before Congress this week in support of the Keystone XL pipeline, saying it would create jobs. Republicans are pressuring the administration to approve that pipeline over the objections of environmental groups. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
The U.S. House has passed a Republican-backed bill to put more requirements on the Securities and Exchange Commission. NPR's Tamara Keith reports on the bill's prospects of becoming law.
The bill would require the SEC to do a cost-benefit analysis when writing new regulations. Congressman Patrick McHenry is a North Carolina Republican.
The SEC too often just puts rules into place without consideration of the cost.
But Democrats, including Maxine Waters from California, argue the real aim of the bill is to bog down the SEC.
So that they won't be able to do their work, so that they won't be able to do their rulemaking, so that they won't be able to protect investors.
Like many bills passed by the House, this one is unlikely to be taken up by the democratically controlled Senate, and the White House has already threatened a veto. Tamara Keith, NPR News, the Capitol.
Before the closing bell, Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 122 points at 15,355. NASDAQ was up nearly 1% at 34.99. S&P 500 up nearly 1% at 1666. This is NPR. U.S. officials are voicing concerns that Russia has supplied the Syrian government with lethal anti-ship missiles. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports that a Russian analyst says it is quite possible the weapons have been delivered.
U.S. officials have been saying anonymously that Russia provided Syria with an advanced type of anti-ship cruise missile. That's a concern for the U.S. and Israel, because embattled Syrian President Bashar al-Assad could use such missiles to strike at foreign ships that might be delivering supplies to the rebels or enforcing an embargo. Alexander Goltz, an independent military analyst in Moscow, says for the past 2 years there have been unofficial reports that Russia was selling the missiles to Syria. Goltz says it's possible that Assad already has the ship-killing weapons. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
23 miners in Indonesia remain trapped this hour, days after a tunnel collapsed at the U.S.-owned mine in the province of Papua and killed at least five of their co-workers. The operator of the Grasberg mine says rescuers have successfully cleared two passages for heavy equipment that could help crews get to the miners sooner. There's been another string of deadly attacks targeting Sunni Muslims today in Iraq. Authorities say two bombs blew up outside a mosque in Bakuba, killing at least 43 people. Elsewhere in the country, attacks claim the lives of at least 14 people. A village in northwest Pakistan is reeling from similar bloodshed today. Two Sunni mosques in the Malakand region were bombed as worshippers were beginning their Friday prayers. Local authorities say at least 15 people were killed and dozens more have been wounded. The attacks come less than a week after the nation held a general election. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.